then when you get attachment of anything in this world.
Yeah. Any other points?
Krishna is called the Chuta because he never leaves his devotion. But if he sees a danger of pride, then he makes himself another.
Good. Anything else? Anything else?
Gopis had one pointed point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
First Gopi came for they came Unmada and then Moha, regular.
Any other points?
The energy of that shield that is given for the gopis because it came back to the time the shield, when the maiden comes, not in the
time. Anything else?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you always used to remember the love of gopis.
Any other points? Okay, so tonight we'll continue with chapter 30. What is chapter 30 called? The gopis are searching for Krishna. So we heard in the beginning of the chapter, the gopis, Krishna disappeared from the gopis, and then they went straight to the highest level of love of Godhead, and they displayed a symptom called Unmada, which is a Sanchari Bhav. It's an ecstasy which one goes into, where one becomes mad, bewildered, and appears to act incoherently within the world. So now we'll continue. Tonight we'll go from verses 19 to 29 and we'll further hear about the gopis, their unmada, or their elevated love of God. This is the highest display of love of God from any devotees anywhere in the universe. Besides the gopis, there is nothing else. There's nothing higher than. And tonight something very special happens as well. See if you can find out what it is. Hare Krishna. Another gopi, her mind fixed on Krishna, walked about with her arm resting on the shoulder of a friend and declared, "I am Krishna. Just see how gracefully I move." So, at this point in time, the gopi, she has her elbow resting on the friend, on the shoulder of a friend. In this description, in this section, it describes that Yogamaya, she is protecting the gopis because they've gone into a state of madness, so they may hurt themselves within the forest. Because they're so detached from what's going on around them that they may somehow do something which may hurt them or damage them. So therefore Yogamaya, sometimes she is manifesting like as another gopi there. Or she is said, describes that she's walking behind them very close just in case they trip or they fall or there's some, if there's any problem, she's protecting them. So the gopis are on such an advanced level that they're being served by the Lord's own potency who's protecting them. Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita that he protects all the devotees. And if you surrender to Krishna, then he will reciprocate with you and protect you. But especially for the gopis, this is an extremely high level of reciprocation. So it is said that this particular gopi, she is imitating Krishna, and she's imitating the conversations that Krishna has with his most intimate friend. So in conjugal ras, which is called Madhurya ras or Sringara ras, which devotee is considered to be the highest? which throat is the highest in the Madhurya Ras? Shrimati Radharani. She's considered the highest. And then in the Vatsalya Ras, then who is considered the highest?
Yashoda.
Madhya Yashoda. Yeah. And then in the Sakya Ras, who is considered the highest?
Arjuna.
No. In Vrindavan, who is considered the highest out of all of them?
Subal,
yeah. Subal is considered the highest. Extremely intimate. It describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, that when Krishna and Subal are discussing, no one can understand what they're talking about, because the pastimes are so intimate. Subal knows everything that takes place between Krishna and the gopis in conjugal rasa. He's the leader of the Dwadasha Gopals, which means the 12 intimate cowherd associates of Krishna. Those 12, they can sometimes be with Krishna when he's with the gopis. Now, other friends cannot do that. They cannot directly associate with the gopis when Krishna is with them. But these Dwadasha Gopals, they can be with Krishna when he's even with the gopis. Even in Radhakund and Shyamakund, which are Krishna's most intimate pastime, Lilasthan, where Krishna performs his most intimate pastimes, the Dwadasha Gopals, they can stay on the Shyamakund side. So when Krishna is on the Shyamakund side with the gopis, they can be there, they can attend, and they can also intermingle and participate in the pastimes. But when Krishna goes across to Radhakund, it is only Krishna and the gopis. That's why Radhakund is considered to be the highest of all places. No male person can go on the Radhakund side. So Subal, there are different pastimes which discuss the intimate relationship between Subal and Krishna. So one pastime is there, which we've told before, where you know, once a year on Gopashtami, you see the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So it's only on that day you'll see her feet. So she takes on Gopavesh. She takes on the dress of the cowherd boy. Because Krishna was feeling intense separation from Srimati Radharani, but he could not get to Radharani. She was being forbidden to leave her home. Yavat. Jatila was keeping her there. So she could not leave. So Krishna was beside himself with separation from Srimati Radharani. So Subal said, I will arrange something. So Subal, he took one of the calves, and the calf ran into the courtyard of Yavat. And then Subal followed in. And then Jatila, she said, who is that? And he said, I'm just getting the calf. He said, this is one of Krishna's calves. That means he is close by. Get out of here. So I'll just get the calf and I will leave. So he went in. And then he found Srimati Radharani. He went into the palace. He found Srimati Radharani. He said, we have to be very quick. We only have a few moments. See, Krishna is feeling intense separation from you. So I will stay, you leave. So Subal's face and Srimati Radharani's face are the same. When someone is auspicious, if you dress them like a boy or a girl, they can look either way. That's considered very auspicious. My daughter's a little bit like that. You dress her like a boy, she looks a bit like a boy. Dress like a girl, she looks like a girl. You see, many devotees are like that, because devotees are very auspicious. So you dress them like a boy, they will look like. Or dress like a girl, they will look like and get away with it. So Subal and Radharani look the same. So quickly they exchanged. Subal took on the gopi skirt and the choli and like that. Radharani, she took on the Subal's vesh. Now the dhoti and the chada, like that. Kurta. So then she picked up the calf and held it to her chest to hide her breasts. And she walked past Jatila. And Jatila said, don't come back. Get out. Don't come back. So she walked out and she just said songes. So she went past. So then she came out and she went to the grove Subhala said Krishna's over in this particular grove. So she went there, walked in, dressed like Subhala. And Krishna is so beside himself, and he's so much water in his eyes that he cannot see, he just sees Subhala. So then he's speaking to Subhala, and he said, "You could not bring Shrimati, you could not bring Radhika to me." And then he started crying and crying. "You could not bring her." And then Subhala said, "It was very difficult. I tried, but it was very difficult." So Radharani was speaking to him like that, and he was beside himself. So then Radharani, she wanted to test Krishna, because now she had him in a situation she could test his love. So then, speaking like Subhala, he said, "That's okay, you can just go with Chandravali. Go with Chandravali, she will satisfy you. Don't worry, she is nearby, we can arrange, you can be with Chandravali." Then Krishna started crying. He said, "No, only Radhika, only Radhika. I will not go with anyone else, only Radhika." Right? So Radharani is very happy, because Krishna is declaring only Srimati Radharani can satisfy him. So then she put her arms around his neck, wrapped her arms around his neck, and she said, "Don't you understand? Your maidservant is in front of you." Right? And then Krishna, when he felt the touch, then he began, his eyes were crying, and then he wiped his eyes, and then he looked, and he said, "Oh, it's you." And then they had pastimes. So that is that one day of the year, on Gopashtami, you'll see that Srimati Radharani, you can see her feet. They dress her like a Gopavesh, like a cowherd boy. That's the pastime which takes place. So Subhala is so intimate. Only Subhala, not only Subhala, you know, some of the intimate cowherd boys, but he understands most intimately. Krishna says everything to him, and he understands. And he only wants to fulfill Krishna's desire, because he knows all about Krishna and Radha's pastimes, and his only desire is to bring Radha and Krishna together. So he's the most intimate associate. So the gopis, now they've gone into unmada, which means madness. So there are different stages of unmada. You'll see when they were speaking to the creepers and the flowers and all these things. So this is like madhya. This is middle range unmada, middle range madness. But then they shoot up to the highest level. So you see from verses 19 to 22, those four verses, that's when they escalate into the highest level of unmada. What is the highest level? The highest level of madness is when they so much enter into Krishna consciousness. What is the goal of our life? To become Krishna conscious. Always remember Krishna.
Never forget him.
So that is the goal of our life. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. To be Krishna conscious under all circumstances. You must be Krishna conscious. Cover the mouth. When you're yawning, you have to cover. So that is the goal of our life. To become conscious of Krishna all the time. When the gopis on this level, when they get to this highest level of absorption in Krishna, in their hearts and minds, they start identifying that they are Krishna. That's how mad. Unmada means madness. They go into full madness. They think, they start acting the pastimes that they are Krishna. So then one of the gopis, she puts her elbow on the shoulder of another gopi, or Yogamaya personifies as a gopi, puts on, and starts speaking as if she is Krishna, speaking to Subhala. Right? Saying intimate dealings and speaking back. Completely mad. Right? Completely mad. Forgetting even who they are. This is the highest level. They just forget, they don't even remember who they are. Right? And then they go into it and they come back down to like a mid level. And then they start speaking to the plants. "Have you seen Krishna? My dear Ashok tree? Tamal tree, have you seen Krishna? Bakul tree, Champak tree? I mean, who talks to trees? No one talks to trees. That's madness. Right? So they're talking to the trees, talking to the animals. Right? Completely. So this is like a middle range. So they go through different levels. So the next four verses, you're going to see the gopis going to their highest level of madness, complete intoxication in love of Godhead. Any points?
So 19 to 22 is what? Unmad, is it?
Very, very high Unmad.
Very, very high Unmad.
Very, very, very high Unmad.
And after this?
After that, middle range.
Right,
no. Four verses high.
Okay.
Then? Okay. Any other points? Why in Melbourne they don't show the feet of Radharani? You have to speak to the temple president.
That is the only reason.
Hello? You have to speak to any room. I'm never hearing Gobhashtami, so I'm not sure what they do.
They don't show the
feet. I think Radha Ashtami sometimes they show.
In India temple.
On Radha Ashtami. Yeah. Radha Ashtami, I think in Vrindavan, Radha Ashtami on the final arti, or the Shayan arti, or the last arti of the day, I think they show Radharani's feet. And then on Gopashtami they show Radha Ashtami. If you go to Vrindavan, all the temples on Gopashtami, then Radharani dressed in that Gopa Vesha. So you have to speak to the temple president. I'm not sure. I'm never here when they do it. So.
Is Subhat allowed to go to Radhapur?
No.
Nobody
goes. Madhu Mangal allowed to? Madhu Mangal?
And Subhat is the brother of
Sri Dharma. Sri Dharma is a brother.
Who is Radharani's brother? That's what I mean.
Sri Dharma.
Another question is, why devotees don't take bath in Radhakund?
You're allowed to take bath in Radhakund, but you have to get permission from the Guru. That's all. Prabhupada said we're allowed to. If you read Nectar of Instruction, what does Prabhupada say? Upadeshamrita, what does he say? What does he say in the Upadeshamrita? He said the devotee should take bath as many times as possible. He says that. Okay. But then, some of his disciples, they weren't acting properly. They weren't entering Radhakund in the right mood. When you enter Radhakund, it has to be in the mood of seva. It's not for enjoyment, it's for seva. It's none different from Radharani. So then Prabhupada said, okay, stop. He said at one point, he said, no more bathing. Because devotee is not bathing properly. But then at the end, just before he left the planet, one devotee was going there to take bath. And Prabhupada said, they said something to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, you can take bath for me. So in the beginning he said, it's okay. Then in the middle he said, no. And then at the end he said, okay. So then we always say to devotees, and you get permission from your guru, whatever your guru says. Because some gurus in ISKCON, they say devotees, don't take bath, just take water, put on the head, do archana. Some gurus say that. Other gurus say it's okay, you can take bath. So whatever your guru says, you can do. But whether you go in or whether you take on your head, it's the same. The main thing is your consciousness. That's the main thing. Any other point? Yeah. And?
For this, Radharani's Nidma, that is describing the different types of
Nidma. Are you going to send that to me or not? Are you going to send it to me or not? Yeah. Don't come back into this class until I get that. Okay, send it now. As soon as I finish class, I'll go upstairs and it better be there on my computer. So. Yeah, make sure you send it to me. Don't keep all the nectar to yourself. Any other points? Okay. Don't be afraid of the wind and the rain, said one gopi. I will save you. And with that, she lifted her shawl above her head. Sorry. Yogi, you like to read the purport?
Yeah. Here, a gopi elects Lord Krishna's path and the king Govardhan and Hill.
Any points? Unmad, yeah. She takes her chatter and she lifts above her head like it's Giriraj. And she says, don't be afraid of the wind and the rain, I will save you. Madness. Madness.
Absolute madness.
Yeah. The highest level of love of God. I told you one time I was in Mayapur, Damodar Ashtika, and doing the everyone offer the lamps, and I saw I was there offering to Panchatattva, and it was on Govardhan Puja, and they had the like a diorama, and Krishna's lifting Govardhan Hill, like small Govardhan Hill and statue. It's probably, you know, about as high as the door. Krishna statue and then holding Giriraj with that. And I was offering Kama, and then Janani Vas Prabhu came. You know Janani Vas Prabhu? And so he came around. And then he picked up the candle he was offering. And then I saw him. He goes like this and he started talking to Krishna. He's like, oh. I don't know what he was saying, but I could see. It was not artificial. You know, he was in some very deep ecstasy. And he was talking to Krishna. He was going like this. And then he walked off and... So, you know, maybe some devotees in this kind of have these realizations, advanced realizations, where they lose themselves and they enter. Okay. It's very rare. You can't imitate it. Yeah. If we see you imitating, we'll hit you with a stick. Yeah. If we see anything artificial. But if it's there naturally, then that's a very advanced thing. There are very, very few devotees in ISKCON would have these kind of realizations. But Janai Vaspur, he's just spontaneous Krishna consciousness. He's advanced devotee, obviously advanced. You know, one of the most advanced devotees in ISKCON, in my opinion. So if he is doing something like that, then I don't take that artificial thing. I could see he wasn't like, oh, he was oblivious. It wasn't like anyone else was there. It was just him and Krishna, and he was showing some leader.
Yes, sannyasi.
Brahmachari. Not a sannyasi, but Shukadeva Goswami continued, O king, one gopi climbed on another's shoulders and putting her foot on the other's head, said, go away from here, O wicked snake. You should know that I have taken birth in this world just to punish the envious. Chandan, you like to read them?
Yeah, the gopis and next Krishna are suspected of falling in.
Any points?
Today, Mahaprabhu, she was opposing Krishna to the one who was seen from the aspect of the devotee, who was trying to give us the case. Mahaprabhu was unhappy. So suddenly, take the mood of Lord Krishna.
Yeah, sometimes that would happen. Lord Chaitanya would display that kind of ecstasy. Any other points?
How can we show his problem?
What's that?
How can we show his problem?
How can what?
I mean, you have to be really strong to, you know, all the girls. To climb
on the shoulder and put the feet on the other's gopi.
You know, you
have
to be so strong. How could you do that?
When I see the gopis, I'll ask them.
Okay.
I'll find out, and then I'll send you an email.
Maybe I might see her first.
Then you send us an email.
Okay.
With us. Any other point? Okay. Then another gopi spoke up, "My dear cowherd boys, look at this raging forest fire. Quickly close your eyes and I will easily protect you." So all of this is Lila Smaranam. Lila Smaranam means being absorbed in remembering Krishna's pastimes, which is the goal of Krishna consciousness. Always remember Krishna.
Yep,
never forget. So what does it mean to always remember Krishna? Ashtakaliya Lila Smaranam. That's the goal of Krishna consciousness. It's not anything else. The goal of the whole movement is just to think about Krishna's pastimes all the time. That's the goal. When a devotee is very advanced, like Haridas Thakur, how many rounds were Haridas Thakur chanting a day? 300,000 names. So how many rounds is that? 192. Has anyone ever done that? Chanted 192? Anyone ever chanted 128? 64? Couple of 64s. 32? Anyone ever chanted 16? 17? Anyone 17? I've chanted 64 a few times. Like that. I don't think I've gone past 64. Maybe once I went to maybe past 64, I can't remember. But when Haridas Thakur is chanting 192 rounds, this is what he's doing. It's called Lila Smaranam. It's called Swarasiki realization. It means you're, while chanting, your mind is just floating through one pastime to another to another. And the Maha Mantra becomes like the backdrop or the musical accompaniment. Prabhupada says in Anchalila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the sound of Krishna's flute in this material world. Krishna is playing his flute right now in Goloka Vrindavan, and when it enters, the sound enters into this world, it takes the form of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So when you're chanting that Maha Mantra, right, you're actually hearing the sound of Krishna's flute. And Srila Prabhupada says, when you're chanting, Radha and Krishna are dancing on your tongue. So when you become more advanced, these are the kind of things you'll begin to meditate on. Krishna's flute, Radha and Krishna dancing, and Lila Smaranam, Ashtakaliya Lila. So, as I've said previously, advanced devotees, advanced sadhikas, some of them, they, because there are 8 time frames of Krishna's pastimes during the day, right? So first one is 6 in the morning till 8:24, right? And then from there till 10:30, 48, I think. And then from 10:48 to 3:36, and then 3:36 to 6 o'clock, and then 6 to 8:24, and then 8:24 till 3:30 in the morning, and then 3:30 till 6. So there's eight, right? So advanced sadhikas, they will, who are chanting many rounds a day, they will sleep less during different periods so that they can make sure they do some chanting during each of those 8 periods of the day. So they can meditate on the pastimes that Krishna is performing at that particular time of day. So it's called Ashtakaliya Lila Smaranam. So Prabhupada said, when you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, Prabhupada said, don't think, just hear. But that's not the only instruction that Prabhupada ever gave us on chanting. There are also instructions where Prabhupada said, while chanting, the pastime should automatically come into the mind. Right? So Prabhupada said many things on chanting. We always say, don't think, just hear. We always say that. Of course, when you're a new devotee, of course, that's what you should do, because you're not ready for anything else. But that wasn't like Prabhupada's only instruction for all devotees for all time. When devotees become advanced, they can meditate on the pastimes. The pastimes will come. And that's what's taking place here with the gopis, right? They're remembering Krishna's pastimes. That's called Ashtakaliya Lila Smaranam. They're remembering his pastimes. They're so absorbed in his pastimes, they begin to enact them. Even subconsciously or unconsciously. They're so absorbed, they're not even thinking They just begin to act like Krishna and so absorbed they forget themselves. So for these four verses, we just saw them go to the highest level. Now they're receding back to like a medium level again, where they're only speaking to plants and things like that. So they're going fluctuating through different levels of unmada. Any points?
So when they were talking to trees, that was unmada.
Yeah.
And these four are
very,
very high.
Yeah. Okay?
Yeah.
TK?
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Anything else? Okay. One gopi tied up her slender companion with a flower garland and said, "Now I will bind this boy who has broken the butter pots and stolen the butter." The second gopi then covered her face and beautiful eyes, pretending to be afraid. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, Yogamaya, sometimes she becomes the other gopi, because the gopi is acting and they need an assistant. So then she personifies and then she takes the role to assist them. So Yogamaya is serving all of the devotees and assisting them in their remembrance of Krishna. And when we go to Vrindavan, you go to Mayapur, you go to Puri, you go to these sacred places, you pray to Yogamaya, please reveal the holy Dharma. If you go to Sanket, which is in between Nandagram and Varshana, has anyone been there? You been there? Sanket? There's a deity of Yogamaya there, Purnamasi. You can go there, you can worship her. Very sacred place. So we pray to Yogamaya to reveal the holy Dharma so that we can enter Krishna's pastime. Mahamaya keeps us away from Krishna. We're all in Mahamaya. All of us are in Mahamaya. We're just absorbed in sex life in the material world. But when you become a little bit advanced, you begin to take shelter of Yogamaya. Yogamaya brings you to Krishna. Mahamaya takes you away from Krishna. So we pray to Yogamaya, especially when we become advanced, that she will cover us and take us to Krishna. She is facilitating the pastimes of the gopis. Any points?
Is it the same personality actually? Yogamaya personality is the same thing?
No, different.
Different personality.
She's an expansion. Mahamaya is an expansion. Any points?
They are ultimately expansion of
Radha Krishna.
They all are ultimately expansion of
Srimati Radha. Yeah, we could say like that. While the gopis were thus imitating Krishna's pastimes and asking Vrindavan's creepers and trees where Krishna, the Supreme Soul, might be, they happened to see his footprints in a corner of the forest. Yep. The gopi said, "The marks of a flag, lotus, thunderbolt, elephant goad, barley corn, and so forth on these footprints clearly distinguish them as belonging to that great soul, the son of
Nanda
Maharaj." So we'll read the purport. So, Uddhava Bandhapur.
Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura, in his commentary on this verse, gives the following scripture information about the symbolic markings on the lotus feet of Krishna. In the following verses, the Skanda Purana states that particular places on his feet where Krishna carries the mark of the flag and also other marks, and the reason for these marks. Katsinasya Madam Pusta Ure Chakra Vibari Kaja Katra Bhakta Janasyari Satvarka Sedana Yasam. At the base of the large toe on his right foot,
the unborn Lord carries the mark of a disc which cuts down the six mental enemies of his devotees.
Matya Manguli Mulene Tatta Kamalam Achyata Tata Chitra Vivarpanam Lobanati Sobana. At the bottom of the middle toe of the same foot, Lord Achyuta has a lotus flower which increases the grief for him in the minds of the direct devotees who meditate on his feet. Anista Molato Vacham Bhakta Pavati Vedana Pasni Matne Atukam Bhakta Chitta Vasa Kavari. At the base of his small toe is a thunderbolt which smashes the mountain of his devotees' reaction to passing. And in the middle of his heel is the mark of an elephant goat, which brings the elephants of his devotees' minds under control. Boka Sampan Mayam Nate Yavan Angusa Parvan. The joint of his right large toe bears the mark of Balikorn, representing all his enjoyable opulences. The Skanda Purana also said, Vacham Vai Dakshine Parve, Ankuso Vai Tat Ankarata. A thunderbolt is found on the right side of his right foot and an elephant goat below that. The Acharyas of the Vaishnava Sampradaya explained that since the particular feet under discussion are Lord Krishna's, we should know that the thunderbolt is at the base of his small toe and the elephant goat below the thunderbolt. The elephant goat on the heel belongs rather to Lord Narayana and other Vishnu Tattva expansion. Thus the Skanda Purana describes six marks on Krishna's right foot. That is, black, lotus thunderbolt, elephant goat and barley corn. And the Vaishnava Tosani mentioned even more marks. A vertical line beginning at the middle of his foot and continuing as far as the junction between his big toe and second toe. An umbrella below the disc. At the base of the middle of his foot, a group of four swastikas in the four cardinal directions. At the four points where each swastika meets the next four rows apples, and in the middle of the swastika, an octagon. This makes 11 marks on Krishna's right foot. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti describes the marks on his Krishna's left foot as follows. At the base of the large toe is a conscious, with its mouth facing the toe. At the base of the middle toe are two concentric circles representing the inner and outer sky. Below this mark is a cupid's unstrung bow. At the base of the bow is a triangle, and surrounding the triangle is a group of four water pots. At the base of the triangle is a half moon with two more triangles touching its points. And below the half moon is a fish. Altogether, then there are 19 distinguishing marks on the sole of Lord Krishna's lotus feet.
So Krishna Chandra Bhagwan ki.
Yeah.
So any points there?
11 on the right side and 8 on the left.
Anything else?
This shows that the Lord, who says himself the world, must have distinguishing features.
Yeah. Anything else?
The purpose is, unless those marks are there, he can't be God. The Maharishi Goswami gave such a big lecture on this.
Easy. Anything else?
So the devotees are basically more of conscious and basically always trying to go to the lotus feet of the Lord, which is best for the resting place for all the things that devotees would prefer to have.
I know some advanced devotees in ISKCON and also outside of ISKCON, they do it also, but in ISKCON, I know some of our gurus actually, when they chant their japa, they have these pictures of Krishna's lotus feet in front of them. They actually meditate on this while they're chanting japa. And you can do a whole meditation on these. If you meditate on what the different symbols represent, you can meditate on these things while you're chanting. So we should become, as you become more advanced in Krishna consciousness, you take more interest in Krishna. You want to know more about Krishna's nama, rupa, guna, lila. So you want to know more about his rupa, his form. And you absorb yourself in the details of his form. Can you remember anything on the bottom of his feet? Yeah, we just read 19. Can you remember anything? If we really love Krishna, we remember all 19. You should be able to draw his feet. You can draw where the different symbols are. That means we really love Krishna. It's one way of proving. Because you're so absorbed in him, you've memorized what's on his lotus feet. Right? And they're advanced devotees. You know, even gurus are some of the devotees in this room. I know they when they chant, sometimes they have the pictures of Krishna's lotus feet, Radha's lotus feet. And they meditate on those things. Right? So, they symbolize different things. Right? So what is the first symbol which is described?
Flag.
It says the unborn Lord carries the mark of a disc which cuts down the six mental enemies of the devotees. Who are your six mental enemies? Those six. Lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion, yeah, false ego, like that. These are the six enemies which control our mind. Now, half our time we're controlled by these six. And then, hopefully, the other half we're controlled by Krishna. So Krishna has chakra, the disc. So you see, whenever you see the top of the temple, if you go outside on the top of Prabhupada's house, there's the chakra. If you go into the altar, up on the altar is a chakra. If you look at the four symbols which are there on the outside in the temple room itself, the chakra is one of them. So chakra means the disc, Sudarshana, Krishna's ultimate weapon. So we meditate. If you meditate on Krishna's feet, it will destroy these six mental enemies which are there. Why we described previously, why do we meditate on someone's feet? Right? I was giving a lecture in the morning a few weeks back. I was describing that, you know, when I first joined the movement, I had a picture of my guru's feet on the wall. And then one of my family members walked into my, and he saw the picture and he said, "Why have you got someone's feet? Do you ever go to anyone's house? You see a picture of, yeah, you ever take a picture of your mother's feet, put them on the wall or, you know, something like that? We don't do that. But in Krishna consciousness, we meditate on the feet of the personality. Why? Because that represents our humility, our surrender, right? The mood of service. I'm bowing to you. I give myself to you, Atma Nivedanam. I surrender unto you, right? In a very humble way, I meditate on your feet. So we meditate like that on Krishna's feet. That's how the gopis. You're my Lord, you're my master, you're my everything. Gopi Bhatu, Pada Kamala Yo, Dasa, Dasa, Anudasa. Right? Lord Chaitanya would pray like that. Gopi Bhatu, you're the Lord of the gopis. Pada Kamala Yo, your lotus feet. Dasa, Dasa, Anudasa. I just want to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis who serve your lotus feet. That was Lord Chaitanya's meditation. So, Krishna, the chakra is destroying. So if you meditate on your position as being Jivara Sarupa Hoy, Krishnera Nichadas, you are Krishna's eternal servant. And if you meditate on Krishna like that, that I am your eternal servant, that will destroy lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion. We're only affected by those six enemies when we forget that we are Krishna's servant. If you remember you're Krishna's servant, those six cannot touch you. So we're only affected when we are forgetful. Yeah, that's sadhana. Because we're sadhakas, so that's sadhana. But when you advance, you look straight at the face.
That also Prabhupada says that once Prabhupada was asked a question that when we chant, should we focus on Krishna's lotus feet or face? So Prabhupada says both are non different, but for face is obviously more beautiful.
Yeah, because when you're advanced, you'll look at Krishna's face straight away. When the curtains open, you'll look at the face. Because we're sadhakas, we may look at the feet and then gradually come up. Because we're practicing. But when we have love for Krishna, it's like when someone comes to your house who you are very attached to. You haven't seen them for a long time, right? You don't look at their feet. Yeah. Like you haven't seen your guru for a long time, and then he comes to Melbourne, and you say, "Oh, Guru Maharaj, you know, it's so good to see you again. You know, I've been waiting to see you." You look at his face. Right? That's natural. The gopis don't look at Krishna's feet; they look at his face. But we're not. We're still sadhakas, so that means we're purifying our heart. So for us, we can practice starting at the feet and then gradually coming up like that. Purifying ourselves. Any points?
Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his feet have the same marks.
What's that?
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet have got the same marks?
Different marks. Different marks. There's a description of Lord Chaitanya's feet and Lord Nityananda's feet and different marks.
His devotees, in the observance of fast and vows, connected to his devotion, all are examples of
Udipa. Examples of?
Udipa. First of all, Akrura also developed that Udipa. He manifested that. All the along you could see that lotus feet was going to bring Krishna back.
Footprints.
Yeah. And he got so ecstatic that he couldn't even see it.
Yeah, nice verse.
What is Udipa?
Oh, glorious to your iPhone.
Samsung.
Is that Samsung?
What is Udipa?
Udipa means stimulation to ecstasy. Which one do you use?
Samsung.
Samsung, no? You use Samsung? This class is really going downhill. The gopis began following Krishna's path as shown by his many footprints, but when they saw that these prints were thoroughly intermixed with those of his dearmost consort, they became perturbed and spoke as follows. Okay. So in one sense, you can say, what is the entire Srimad Bhagavatam for? What's the point of the whole Bhagavatam?
To increase your love.
The whole 18,000 verses.
To increase your love for the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah, that's good. Very nice. Anyone else can say?
Increase the remembrance,
yeah. What's the point of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam?
To purify yourself so that you have
to know Krishna.
To know Krishna? Good. What else?
To
to purify yourself so that you are eligible to go back.
Yep. What else? Huh? Yeah, some city honey toshan. To engage everything in Krishna service. Make everything favorable for Krishna, that's true. What else? What's the goal of the whole Bhagavatam?
To go to Goloka Vrindavan and share with him.
Yeah, that's true.
Waking love for
good, yeah, very good. Yeah, in one sense, the entire Bhagavatam is spoken to establish the supremacy of Srimati Radharani.
Right.
In one sense. That's the point of the entire text. In one sense, the point of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is to establish the supremacy of Srimati Radharani. That's the point of the whole Bhagavatam. And that's what's happening right here. Because who is he going off with? Only one gopi. Right? Everyone else is looking for him, but he's with one. So this part of the Bhagavatam is his smiling face. And now we enter this is the heart of the Lord himself. We're actually getting a darshan inside Krishna's heart at this point in time. And we see that he himself has chosen out of 3 billion choices. He takes one and he goes off privately. So in one sense, the entire Bhagavatam is establishing one point. Right? Srimati Radharani is the supermost or topmost Vaishnava, Vaishnavi, the Param Bhakta, right? And then everyone else. So that in one sense, that's the sense. This is the entire purport of the Bhagavatam. Yeah, because the gopis are traveling through the forest looking, and they're looking, they see Krishna's feet, his footprints, say, so, okay, he's gone in this direction. But now they're saying, oh, someone else's footprints are with him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they study those footprints. They know whose footprints they are. Right? Radhika's footprints. Right? So they're seeing. So now they're following. They're saying, oh, and now they're having a discussion. So we remember that when he called everyone out, who came out? When he called everyone into the forest, who came? The left wing and the right wing. So they're all together, right? So the ones who are speaking now, they're saying, the gopis began following Krishna's path as shown by his many footprints, but when they saw these prints were thoroughly intermixed, they became perturbed. So these are Radharani's rivals, right? They're disturbed, right? Because they're saying, she's with Krishna. Chandravali should be with Krishna. Why is he taking her?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then Lalita, Vishaka, Radharani's camp, they're also saying like this. Why is he gone? But inside their heart, they're in ecstasy. They think, yes, he's chosen her, he's taken her. But they're going along with everyone else. Why is he taking her? So they're acting like they're upset, they're perturbed. But inside, they're not perturbed at all. They're completely satisfied. Their desires are fulfilled. Because they're thinking, yes, he's taken her. He's not attracted to Chandravali. Now, if he's attracted to Chandravali, she wouldn't be here with us. But she's also lost in the forest. But he's gone off with Radharani, so they're supremely satisfied. But they're just acting like that. They're speaking as if they're also perturbed. Any points? Okay. The gopi said, here we see the footprints of some gopi who must have been walking along with the son of Nanda Maharaj. He must have put his arm on her shoulder, just as an elephant rests his trunk on the shoulder of an accompanying she elephant. Okay. So it is sometimes said Srimati Radharani's name is not directly mentioned in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In this verse we're about to read, her name is mentioned indirectly. this verse is very, very special. In one sense, you've just come to the summit of the whole Bhagavatam, because now it's going to mention her name. Okay, she's not mentioned anywhere directly. Right? You read through, you won't see her name, but here indirectly, but it's her. It says, the word is Aradita. Aradita means the best worshipper. Yeah, that's what her name literally means. Radhika. Radha. Rani. Radhika means the best worshipper. One who, her whole soul, her whole essence of her being is just to please Krishna. And she's the best at pleasing Krishna. Certainly this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. So why is it that she was not mentioned directly?
Because then the Bhagavatam was not completed.
Very good.
They have gone into ecstasy.
Very good. Because in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it explains that if Shukadeva Goswami had have directly spoken about Radharani, he would have become stunned in ecstasy and he wouldn't have been able to finish the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he didn't directly mention her. Because if he had have mentioned her, Maharaj Pariksit wouldn't have heard the end of it. And we wouldn't have heard the end of it. So therefore he doesn't directly mention her. But here, his ecstasy is too much. Because it says that we shouldn't speak about these things in public. We're speaking about these things now. In one sense, we shouldn't be speaking about them. In one sense. Because what's our adhika? What's our qualification? I'm not qualified to speak it. None of us are really qualified to hear it. You know, we're not really qualified in one sense. In another sense, you know, we're doing it in an intimate way. Right? We're not doing it with just anyone. Right? Devotees here, there've been many devotees have been doing it for many, many years. We've been studying. We started back at Bhakti Shastri. Then we went through the Bhagavatam systematically. So systematically, eventually you will come to this. We're not qualified to hear it, to speak it. But in another sense, this is our this is the result of the systematic study. So we've got to this point. So now, Shukadeva Goswami, he will not speak directly Srimati Radharani's name. So he keeps it hidden. So it's like when we are speaking, we don't speak these things publicly. What we're speaking here, we won't go, you know, into the Sunday feast lecture or at our Bhakti Vriksha group. And we won't speak intimately about these things because it's not appropriate. People have to have some qualification to hear these things. So he won't just speak it directly. So he keeps it very hidden. That was Lord Chaitanya's mood. Lord Chaitanya would speak about these things every day, but in a very intimate setting, not publicly. So this is the situation. Shukadeva Goswami will not speak her directly, but this is the very height of the Bhagavatam now. So it is when the ecstasy becomes too much, you can't control yourself. So as much as Shukadeva can, he's trying to control himself, and it's very difficult. So then he mentions her name indirectly. And it says, the Acharyas say, when he says her name, it is like kettle drums. You may know kettle drums. You see the symphony orchestras sometimes, like Melbourne Symphony Orchestra or any of them, the big orchestras. They're big drums at the back, and they play them very deeply. Beautiful sound, very deep sound, very auspicious sound. So when her name is spoken, it's like the height of the entire Bhagavatam. And everything just becomes purified. And actually it says this is her mercy. Because she wants to reach out and grab all the devotees and pull them into Krishna's pastimes. But she's hiding herself. Because you have to be qualified, otherwise everything will be mistaken. So this verse is like, it's like the summit in one sense of the entire Bhagavad Gita. Because Radharani appears, the topmost devotee appears. So there's a nice description. If you read in the purport, it describes Radharani's lotus feet. So you can meditate on her lotus feet as well. Anyone remember any of the marks, or did you read? No. Huh? Yeah, it's in the purple, the one we just read. Barleycorn. Tulsi plant.
Umbrella.
The moon, very good. Yeah, a jagya pit, fire sacrifice. Yeah. Anything else? Please.
The previous one says that the gopis said, so it says the gopis are talking to source, and obviously when we move into verse 28, again, the word anaragita is also spoken by the gopis. So yes, we understand that Sudhir Goswami could have already said it, but why are the gopis addressing her as anaragita? They could have said anaragita.
Yeah, they could have. Maybe it's just the technicality of the Sanskrit. Spiritual life is very subtle. Prabhupada explains that it's more intimate when you are subtle in addressing someone. Just like you read in My Glorious Master, Bhurujan Prabhu's book, and then he gave that ring to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada put it on. And then later on, I think Subal, he was massaging Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, Prabhupada, you have a new ring? Who gave that to you? And Prabhupada just looked at Bhurujan Prabhu. He said, somebody. So Prabhupada explains, when something's indirect, it's sweeter than when it is direct. So maybe that could be the reason. So you can memorize also the marks on Srimati Radharani's feet. I was reading it today, but one particular mark struck me on her feet. Anyone get struck by that particular thing? Yeah, all those things are there, but one thing struck me. That's just for me, personally. No? Okay. You can read it yourself then. See if anything strikes you. She has a spear on the bottom of her foot. That very much attracted me to Radharani. A spear. It's a spear. Too nice.
Does it mean that she destroys our bad habits?
What?
Does it mean that she destroys all our bad habits?
What? Yeah, that's what it means.
Okay.
Here's a spear. She's a warrior. A warrior has a spear on their foot. Says there's two spears actually. There's a spear on her foot, a spear. It's so powerful. It's so powerful.
She's the origin of
Shakti Tattva. Yeah. Shakti Tattva. Yeah, I mean, look at it many ways. Krishna's a warrior because he's born in Chandra Vamsh. He's a Kshatriya. But he takes the position in the Leela as a Vaishya. But then you see, whenever something happens, everyone calls him. He's a Kshatriya. He's acting like a Vaishya, but he's actually a Kshatriya. So she's also like that. She's like a Vaishya, but actually she's a princess. She's a Kshatriya princess, the greatest Kshatriya princess. So she keeps a spear in her foot. Yeah. Said to be like the most softest of all women, but there's a spear on her foot. That, for me, that was very attractive. That Srimati Radharani, that's her spirit. She has that intense spirit. That's why Krishna is so attracted to her. She's not submissive. She has a spear.
What does that symbolize?
Huh?
What does that symbolize?
Have a think about it. Someone's carrying a spear, what is the symbol? Yeah, I didn't go like deep into the research, but you see, the elephant goad was to grab the devotee's mind and like that. The chakra was to destroy those things. So I take it like that. Chakra spear. You know, use whatever you want on me. Just help me. Just destroy the nonsense which is there. So. You got it? Okay. Read it.
Mark represents a spear because it says Shakti. For those who take shelter of Radha, her feet immediately appear to slash all the miserable bonds of mundane life. It means that Sri Radha is the source and reservoir of unlimited Shakti or power.
Very good. Very nice. Show me the front of the book. What's the book?
It's called Meditations, Divine Forms.
Who compiled it?
Mahanidhi Swami.
Yeah, I've got that book at home. Yeah, I didn't have a look in there carefully, but that's nice. Very nice. Very, very good. Don't put it on the ground though. Yeah. That's good. Okay.
God
has
got the power from
Radha Rani. Yeah. She is the supreme goddess. Okay. One more verse. Oh girls, the dust of Govinda's lotus feet is so sacred that even Brahma, Shiva, and the goddess Rama take that dust upon their heads to dispel sinful reactions. So it shows the position of the Gopis, because Krishna, he is worshipped by Shiva, Brahma, Lakshmi. And they take the dust of his feet and they worship him. But the gopis don't see him like that. They don't see him like that. As we said, they don't look at his feet, they look at his face. These other devotees, you know, when Brahma comes before him, we already saw early on, Brahma's like... the gopis don't come before him like that. The gopis come and say, hey.
That is the power of love.
Yeah, a totally different bhav, totally different mood. Mm-hmm. Whereas Brahma, Shiva, they have like a different mood, touching his feet, but the gopis not like that. So this shows the supremacy. Now they're higher than Brahma, they're higher than Shiva, they're higher than Lakshmi. Lakshmi does tapasya to become a gopi, and she can't. Shiva does tapasya to become a gopi, he cannot. Right, you know the what's it called? The song by Shiva that everyone sings in Vrindavan. No, the song. He sings a song. What's it called? Everyone in Vrindavan sings it like that. But it's written by Lord Shiva, spoken by Shiva. You know, it worships Radharani. So Shiva, Brahma, Lakshmi, they worship the gopis. They worship Srimati Radharani. So the gopis, Radharani in particular, they're much, much, much higher than all of these devotees. These devotees worship Krishna's feet. In one sense, Krishna worships the feet of Radharani. So we'll stop there.
I think Lord Vishnu also is eager to see Krishna and Radha as his feet.
Yeah, later on in the pastime. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.